This morning I will be showing us some very simple things again from God's Word. And when I say simple, I mean simple, but you will need to know it. How to pray for people. I'm going to be particular about praying for God's people, but I'm just going to talk generally about how to pray for people. A number of people don't know if someone says, pray for me. Oftentimes they don't even know what to pray about. If I, as your pastor, should tell you this morning, pray for me, what would you be praying about? That is, if I should ask you to pray for me, or if somebody sitting beside you said, please, or whatever, pray for me. How would you pray? I taught this subject several years ago. I think it was Believers Convention 2004. But it's always good to bring it back to you in a way of remembrance, so that I know some of you were not here then. And even those who are here then probably can't even remember it. Maybe not all. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus did tell his disciples that after this manner, verse 9, therefore pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. What we often call the Lord's Prayer. In verse 7, it says to us, it says, when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard by their much speaking. That's very interesting. It says, they think that they shall be heard by talking for long. You know, some folks believe now there's such a thing as spending time in prayer. The Bible speaks about Elijah, who was a man of like passions, James 5, 16 and 17, who prayed and prayed again. So there's something about spending time in prayer, all right? And praying for people, praying for long. But oftentimes, people think that you will get results by saying certain things and, you know, repeating certain things in certain ways. They don't think that by much speaking, you shall be heard. By much speaking. So Jesus says, after this manner, pray. That is, there is a way to pray. Hallelujah. So there is a way to pray. There is a way to pray. Luke 11 verse 1. Came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that is when they saw him pray, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. He says, teach us to pray. He didn't say, make us pray. He says, teach us. You see, many people today are not well taught on just anything. I won't tire of saying this, that people have been given alternatives to true Christian living, where you give yourself to hear God's word. Now, these folks saw Jesus pray and they said, Lord, teach us. In other words, there's a teaching to it. I don't assume you know how to pray because you're a human being. No. You can be doing certain activities and believe you are praying. But you are not praying. Because prayer has an audience. Prayer must have an audience. Yeah, I'm praying. I'm praying about it. Yeah, how about this? I'm praying about it. I've been praying for you. About what? That's why oftentimes I tell preachers of the gospel, depend on your own prayer life. Because you are sure of what you are saying, You don't know what the other fellow is saying. He says, teach us to pray. So Jesus begins to teach. So there is a teaching to prayer. There's a teaching to prayer. There's a teaching that precedes a prayer life. There's a teaching that precedes prayer life. If someone should ask you, pray for me, how do you pray for that fellow? Hallelujah. Some of you are wondering, I thought I would just pray now. If someone should tell me, pray for me so that I will just pray for my life generally. Generally, I'm just confused. My life is bad and all that. Yeah. Father, calm the storm in his life. He's just talking. Why did he say storm? He said, there's enough storm. Now look at him. He hasn't gotten a job in 6 years. Is that not enough storm? But that's not the right way to pray. To now make matters worse, some people have invented some new prayers. I see them written in books. Apologies to any of you who has been schooled in that area. Say, pray fire. Say, all the enemies of your life, die. Say, die. And they are spending hours like that. Remember, years back, somebody prayed according to him, and his enemy's business went down. Went down so bad that I think the enemy now lost the child. I said, you didn't do it in the name of Jesus. You cooperated with Satan. That's what you did. Now, that view was not accepted then, because that was... I said, that cannot be Jesus. Jesus came that we might have life, praise the Lord. John 10:10, and have it more abundantly. The enemy, the thief, came to steal, to kill and destroy. And God is no thief. If your prayers will destroy people, you are not praying in the name of Jesus. Let me show you something. Matthew chapter 5. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Watch what Jesus said. You have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love your neighbor, verse 43, and hate your enemy. This was the law of Moses. This was not God's will. This was the sinful nature of man being revealed. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. That's what happened to man when he separated from the love of God. That's what the law was about. The law was not God telling you to live. The law was how man was. Get a tape, so great salvation. That was well explained there. But I say unto you, praise God. Look at 44. Can we take it together? Want to go? But I say unto you, let's go. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Can you see that? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Now watch what he says. Don't forget he's talking about your enemies. So your enemies are those who curse you. They are those who hate you. They are those who despitefully use you and persecute you. So how do you love your enemies? He tells you, number one, bless them. When he says it will never be well, we don't say return to sender. Fire by fire. It is bless them. Hallelujah. Someone told me years back, he said, you will never succeed. I said, you will succeed in the name of Jesus. Whatever you lay your hands upon will prosper. Because I function with a higher law. Hallelujah. I have overcome the world. Praise God. I'm in God. Down in my heart is the nature of the Father. I've got no hate in me. Praise God. I've got no atomic weapon to release. I've got no atomic bomb. A chemical weapon to destroy anybody's life. I've got grace on my lips, praise God. I've got love on my lips, praise God. Say, I have the love of God in my spirit. Say, Lord, I have the love of God in my spirit. Raise your hand, say, I have the love of God in my spirit. I've got the love of God in my heart. am ruled by the love of God. So when you love people, you will bless them. What do you mean to bless them? Just tell them, God bless you. It shall be well with you. He said, do good to them that hate you. That word do good is to be kind. To give them things. Make your car available. Make food available to them that hate you. That's what he's saying. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That means you can also pray for your enemies. Pray in love. Father, I pray. Now, somebody just made you lose your job. I say, Father, I pray. He's in the same office with you, so he got into competition with you, got you sacked. And I say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that he receives promotion. Promotion in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, I pray that your angels minister, and they are at his beck and call to help him in his work. That is a Christian. Hallelujah. That's how a Christian thinks and acts. Not, Father, will you be looking at me like this? I'm your son. Anybody that touches the apple of your eye has touched you. You will go now, oh, mighty man of war. Lion of the tribe of Judah. Ah, the mighty God, the I am that I am. Destroy them. Go like fire and cleanse. You are not praying in the name of Jesus. You are praying. You are not praying in the name of Jesus. You are cooperating with Satan to destroy someone's life. So you will get results. But they're not results from God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. What does God do? He makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Open to Romans 12. Hallelujah. I don't even have such conscience to pray for someone's downfall. I don't know how to do it. Since I met Jesus, selfishness has left my life. I'm a Christ-centered person. I said I'm a Christ-centered person. The love of God. The love of God is my way of living. Romans 12. Verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much that lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Praise the Lord. Can you see that? Avenge not yourselves. But give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, what do you do? Feed him. Alright? For in so doing, thou shalt, if he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, when it is coals of fire on his head, is taken from the Old Testament, that you are asking for forgiveness on his behalf. That's what you are doing. Not that you are getting into trouble. No. You are asking, coals of fire is the sin offering. The trespass offering, where you receive forgiveness for that fellow. That's what you are doing. You are asking, that is when you do good to someone who hates you, what you are doing is that you are overcoming that hatred. Be not the overcome with evil, of evil, but overcome evil with good. So you don't pray such, there's no time to pray such prayers. Someone should not live long. I'm taking your case up now, my prayer warriors. When they finish with you, are you sure you are born again? Hallelujah. So neighbor, say, I'm sure you walk in love. Turn to the person, let him to see your eyes. I'm sure you walk in love. Praise God. Well, how to pray for people? Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible teaches us to pray for people. In fact, the truth is that if your prayer life is all about yourself, you have not yet started praying. You are still selfish. Ephesians 6:18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching, verse 18, whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Hallelujah. So in praying, we must look through God's word. The Bible is the guide to pray. Now, I will also say this to you because I believe that you're in this church, and then you should understand this basic thing. That there are two books in the Bible. There is the Old Testament, and there is the New Testament. The Old Testament has been fulfilled by the New Testament. And in the New Testament, where we dwell in, let me use that, and where we are today, is motivated by the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of faith. The law is motivated, people under the law were motivated by itself. Two different dispensations. So, if we were to learn to pray, we will look at the New Testament, what we call the New Testament, that's from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but much precisely, we look at the epistles, the writings of Paul, Peter, James, Jude, John, the ones Paul wrote to Timothy and to Titus, and then the Hebrews, the book of Hebrews will be the books where we're going to read and understand a Bible subject. So if we're looking at praying for people, people oftentimes, and I must say this again, talk about praying the will of God. They say, am I praying the will of God? Is it the will of God? What am I praying for? Is it the will of God? Based on that, they pray. Based on that, they receive answers to prayers. They want to receive answers to prayers. But you see, the will of God is not a mysterious revelation. The will of God is not a mysterious revelation. The will of God can be found when you meditate on the Word of God. I'll say that again. The will of God will be found when you meditate, that you think upon the Word of God. Now, to think upon the Word of God will be that you will hear the Word of God first. That's what you are doing now. If you do not hear the Word of God, you cannot think upon the Word of God. And if you don't think upon the Word of God, you cannot speak the Word of God. And if you don't speak the Word of God, you cannot practice the Word of God. So there must be a hearing of the Word of God. Then there will be a meditation of the Word of God. And there will be a speaking of God's Word. And there will be a practice of God's Word. So people are too lazy to even find out the will of God. Too many Christians are too lazy. I believe there's nobody like that here. They will come to church without a Bible. That is a sign that you're not ready to hear God's Word. You'll come to church again without something to write with. And the preacher is preaching and you're just watching. As though you are watching a football game. You know, that's a sign of unseriousness. That you are not ready to retain what you are hearing. Alright? So, when you hear God's word, you now are able to meditate upon it. I always carry my diaries around when I hear God's word so that I can put down what I'm hearing. That afterwards I go back to read it, then I remember it, then I put it on my mind. That is how to meditate on the Word of God. So the Word of God, I mean, the will of God is found when you meditate on the Word of God. So I'll take the first set of people that we pray for. An unsaved person. An unbeliever. How do I pray for an unbeliever? Assuming I have a cousin or a brother or a neighbor who is not a Christian. And I want to pray. You have to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. You touch his heart. That guy is a Muslim. His heart is too strong. We pray in Jesus' name that you break his heart. Holy Ghost fire, enter in and quit. You are not praying. You see, if it was that easy to get people born again, then we'll just be holding prayer meetings every day and just get me the census list of Nigeria. That we about, I think you say we're 140 million, right? So we'll have, we should have at least 1,000 churches, right? How many 1,000 can you get in 140 million? That's 14,000, right? 140,000. That's a lot. 140,000 in 1,000 places. Okay, let's have 5,000 churches, okay? So we'll spread, let's even say we have 20,000 churches, alright? And then we say, alright, all churches, just pick this name, spread across the year. So a day per year, we just allocate certain people that will be praying for people. Father, touch their heart, touch their heart. At the end of the 2-3 years, everybody is saved. Nobody gets saved by prayer. That's the first mistake people make. Nobody can be saved because you prayed. Nobody can ever be saved because you prayed. Because you do not get people saved by prayer. So don't waste your time praying the wrong way. Romans chapter 10 tells us, are you following this morning? All right. Romans chapter 10 tells us why a person is not saved. Now, when you know why a person is not saved, you will know that you know what to do. Hallelujah. We have a lot of people that have cousins and aunts and maybe children or parents that are not saved, and we're spending time praying the wrong way. Pastor, are you saying we cannot pray for somebody who is not saved? We will pray, and we're going to see it now, for somebody who is not saved, but you don't pray for him to get saved. It can never happen. Hallelujah. Romans 10. Why isn't somebody saved? Verse 13. For whosoever shall call, Romans 10, are you there? Alright. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Alright. So anybody, anywhere that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there is nobody who is precluded from salvation. I want us to read verse 8 to verse 12. I'm going to read 8. And then we'll read 9 and 10 together. Are you ready? Alright. Then we'll take it to 12. All right. I'll take 8, then we'll read 9 to 12 together. Are you ready? Are you ready? Alright. For whatsoever the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'll take 11, and we'll take 12 together. For the scripture said, whosoever shall believe on him shall not be ashamed. 12 together, want to go? But there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord, 13 together, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So nobody is precluded from salvation. Now but look at 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So before a man will call on the name of Jesus, he will do what? He will believe. Right? Good. Look at 15. Sorry? 14 again. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? That means you cannot believe something you have not what? Heard. So, number one, the unbeliever might not have called. The reason why somebody is not saved, he says, is because he has not believed. Why has he not believed? He has not heard. Are you following? How shall they hear without what? A preacher. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear without a preacher? Alright? So, you will only hear from a preacher. Verse 15. How shall they preach except they be what? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and send glad tidings of good things. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For the scripture says, Isaiah said, the Lord who has believed our report. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So the preacher must preach what? The word of God. So why is somebody not saved? Because he has not heard. Why has he not heard? A preacher hasn't come to him. And a preacher of what? The gospel of Christ. So what should be your prayer point? A preacher. Are you getting it now? That's it. Get him a preacher. Praise the Lord. Is there a valid place to pray that? Sure, there is. There is a valid place to pray for a preacher. But wait. You should be the preacher, first and foremost. Amen. Alright, now when you cannot get to that fellow, sometimes you could be close to people in your household. And you cannot, for whatever reasons, preach unto them. Those are very extraneous reasons. But you have somebody who is far away, then you pray for preachers to be sent to them. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. Now observe this very well. Jesus had been preaching and teaching and healing the sick in verse 36. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they were fainted, weary, and were scattered abroad as sheep, having what? No shepherd. So he said unto his disciples, what did he say to them? Everybody? The harvest is plenteous. But what? Can you see that now? The laborers are few. Let me say this to you, and I've been privileged to travel a lot around Nigeria. I've practically been to almost all the states of this nation to preach the gospel, including African nations. And I remember years back, we used to organize a conference we called the Soul Winners Conference. So we ran a test around the universities of this nation. As at 2002 or so, or 3, we had been to 55 of those campuses. We ran a test and we discovered that in almost all the Christian fellowships, less than 2% got born again through those fellowships. We also ran a test and we discovered that the Christian population on the campuses, now, I'm talking about years ago, you know, maybe things have changed. Almost all, I mean, the campuses had a very minute percentage of the population of the school in the churches. We did some tests and discovered that there are some places where all the Christian population will be about 3,000 people in the Christian population in the churches. And the school was about 15,000. Or 20,000. 25,000. And we discovered that out of the 4,000 or 4,000 or whatever, maybe just about 400 got born again, not the high one now, on the campuses. So most people had been saved somewhere before they entered the campus. And today also, we discovered that most places hardly can say, the church I attend today is where I got saved, or through that church I got saved. So it's very easy to see so many billboards of churches and assume that everybody has heard the gospel. Nope. Don't forget, he says, the preacher that will be sent will be a preacher that will preach what? The gospel. Some people are preaching success motivation. Some people are preaching psychology. Some people are preaching sin. Some people are just preaching heaven. Some people are preaching rapture. Some people are preaching a lot of things. But I'm talking about the gospel of salvation. The gospel of Christ. So Jesus said the laborers are few. Now look at 38. Count to 38 together. One to go. Pray ye therefore the Lord. Everybody, come on. One to go. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, what are the harvest? People who need a shepherd. The Amplifier says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will force out. In other words, we're going to pray for people to be sent to those places where they have not heard the gospel. The reason why they have not believed is because they have not heard it. Why have they not heard it? Somebody is not preaching it to them. So don't bother your head praying for somebody who's an unbeliever and say, God, touch his heart, let him change his ways. You're wasting your time. All he needs is to hear the message. And if you're close by, quit praying, amen, for him. Pray for yourself, praise God, that you pray, you preach and preach well the gospel of Jesus to him. Let me say, if you're following that very well, that is how to pray for an unsaved person. Now, when we come to church, there's a different way to pray for God's people. If your cell leader, your pastor, the coordinator of your fellowship, you ask you to pray for him, how would you go about it? How would you go about it? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. How would you go about it? Look at 3 John 2. We have enough prayer points. Real prayer points are in the Bible. I'll be calling out prayer points. Next week we'll look at how to pray for leaders. To pray for your nation. And then how to pray for yourself. Want to hear that? Okay. 3 John 2. Beloved, this is John writing to Gaius, who is a Christian. Let me start with one. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now watch this. He says, I wish. That word there in the Greek is, I pray concerning all things. That's what he's saying. That you will prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So, we are to pray for the prosperity of Christians. The prosperity of Christians. Now, that prosperity here, for instance, says you will prosper in all things and be in health. That word prosper is the Greek word heudo, which means to have a good journey, a good trip, a successful journey. It says to pray and be in health even, notice that, as your soul prospers. So, there's a prayer that involves the health, the wealth, but above all, the spiritual well-being of that fellow. It says, even that is in line with the prosperity of your soul. So what comes first for a Christian is his spiritual prosperity. His spiritual well-being. And the rest are to work in tandem with his spiritual well-being. The primary way to pray for fellow Christians is to pray for their spiritual welfare. If you have to pray for a Christian, it says, even as your soul prospers. How does your soul prosper? Your soul prospers when it is enlightened with the Word of God. Your soul prospers when it is renewed by the Word of God. Romans 12 and 2, Ephesians 1, we're going to see that one soon, 17 to 20, or 23. As your soul prospers, as you grow in understanding, the Bible, Corinthians 14:20, but in understanding, grow up in your soul, in your mind, grow up. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake like a child, I thought like a child, I understood like a child. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11 says, but now I have put away childish things. We said that, we taught that last year when we were teaching on spiritual growth. That your mind grows. Your mind develops in the things of God. So, to pray for Christians, you will pray the right things. Don't just pray. Pray the right things for the spiritual development of that fellow, which leads to his mental development. It leads to his well-being, his health, and of course, his material development. But the key issue there is to pray for his spiritual development. Now we're going to see, because this is where we're going now, how Paul prayed for people. How did Paul pray for fellow Christians? How did he pray? Hallelujah. Because we have books that were written to Christians. We have from Acts of the Apostles was an historical document. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were not written to Christians. Okay? They were written for us. Okay? Just like the Old Testament wasn't written to you, but for you. Matthew was written for people to know that Jesus is the Christ. Luke was written to Theophilus that he might believe. Mark was written the same way. John was written so that you can believe and have life. Alright? That's not to Christians. We already have believed. Hallelujah! We have received. We know him as Jesus Christ. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. 1 John 5 and 1. 1 John 5 and 4. Whosoever is born of God has overcome the world. Let me show you what I just said now. Because some of you are just, not written to the church. John. John 20. Now you discover the book of John and the book of John and the first epistle of John, history has it, they were written about the same time. Of course, they were written by the same person, but about the same time, but for a different audience. John 20. Are you there? Okay. Let's read verse 30. I'll take verse 30. We'll take 31 together. Are you ready? And many other signs, John 20, 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. 31. But these are written. Take it again. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Can you see that? Alright. Now look at 1 John 5. Put your hands in John 20. So he wrote the book of John so that you might know that Jesus is what? Believe that he is Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you might have life. Alright. You don't use might for somebody who has something already. Okay? Is that okay? Alright. First epistle of John chapter 5. Same person wrote it, right? Same John the Apostle, John the Beloved, John the Apostle. Alright. John 5, 13. 1, 2, go. These things have I written unto you that believe on that you may know that you have life, eternal life. So he wrote to these ones that believe on the name that they may know that they have. Now you see something there that says, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You discover that that is contrary to what was said earlier. That was, I think some versions have it in italics because it was not in the originals. You have already believed. Hallelujah. Are you getting that right now? So, the first one was written so that you might believe, then by believing you might have. This one was written to those who already have believed and have, so that they might do what? Know that they have. Luke 1. Luke wrote this to Theophilus for what purpose? Is it for as much as you... As many have taken in hand to set forth, verse 1, Luke 1:1, in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us, even as delivered them unto us, which was beginning from eyewitness and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. That is, we are saying things to you, so that you will know of a certainty that these things are true. So he's writing to Theophilus so that Theophilus might know that Jesus truly is the Christ. And by doing that, Theophilus, who, you know, was a leader, a ruler, might believe. Wrote the book of Acts of the Apostles just about the same time. He said, Acts 1:1, O former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments of the apostles whom he had chosen. The same person wrote it. So he wrote the same thing to Theophilus, so that Theophilus might know truly that Jesus is the Christ. Now, having said that, that means that for us that know, alright, for us that have believed, our epistle, our own letter is where? In the epistles. You see that the epistles were written to the saints, to those who are in Christ Jesus. So it's from there that we take our prayer point. Don't go to the book of Psalms to look for prayer points. Fight with them that fight with me. Contend with those that contend against me. Let them die like rubble. Let them burn like ashes. Let them... You are in Christ. Hallelujah. Say, I am in Christ. That's where you are now. That's the place you are in. So you read the letters in Christ to know how to pray for fellow believers. Ephesians chapter 1. We're all going to read this together. You ready? Are you ready? How do you pray for believers? What are the prayer points? Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. So he says, when I heard that you are now Christians, first of all, I thank God for your life. So the first thing I must do for anybody who is born again is to do what? Thank God for his salvation. Oh, I thank God for my brother. I thank God for my cousin. Oh, that is safe. Father, I just give you praise for the salvation of his soul. That's very important. Now, what does he say next? He says, I pray for you, verse 17, that the God... Okay, let's take that together now. 17 to 23. Are you ready now? How does Paul pray? One to go. That the God, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand, in the 21, far above all principalities and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. Watch that. See what he prayed for. He did not pray that Christ will rise from the dead. He did not pray that there will be power at work in the saints. He did not pray that there will be the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He didn't pray for that. He didn't pray that the Christian will rise above spirituality and power. He didn't pray that the Christian will overcome Satan. That has already been done. Hallelujah. What did he ask for? He asked for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of this. You don't pray for a Christian to overcome Satan. You don't say, a Christian that Satan will not torment him again. Yeah, if you pray it and it happens, because by the gifts of the Spirit that can happen, Satan will come back again. So you'll be just making repetitions. How do you pray for a Christian in any capacity, is to pray that his eyes be opened to know who he is in Christ, to know where he dwells, to know what belongs to him, to know what has been done for him. Notice what he says. That this fellow, when his eyes of understanding, look at it, let's take a thing together. The eyes of your understanding being what? So what do you pray for Christian? Spiritual education. The eyes of your understanding being educated, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance were. Where? Now, who are you praying for? You are praying for his saints. So you are praying for his eyes to be opened to what he has in him. Chapter 3. Chapter 3. I believe that every serious-minded Christian should know this particular prayer by heart. 1995, I stayed up late between 10 p.m., I think now, till 7 a.m. in the morning. And I opened these prayers and I prayed them for myself from that period. I didn't pray in tongues. I prayed from 10 till 7. For my eyes to be opened to who I am in Christ Jesus. I prayed it from that period. I mean, it got to a point in the midnight, after midnight, I became tired. I put my feet in water so that I won't sleep. Because I'm serious about this. Hallelujah. Look at this. Chapter 3. Verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means he's praying. Of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Let's take 16 together. One to go. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, verse 19, and to know. So how can you be strengthened by his spirit in your inner man? By knowledge. By comprehending. Again, the prayer here is for understanding. For knowledge. The greatest prayer you can pray for a fellow Christian is revelation knowledge. Because he has been delivered from the power of darkness. Colossians 1:13. He is now in the kingdom. Look, you don't have, listen to me, you don't have any greater standing before God than he does. You don't have any rights stronger than any Christian. If there's a difference between us, it's a knowledge difference. So if you are praying for him that Lord, that he be delivered from, he can't be any more delivered than he has been delivered. John 8:36, whomever the Son has set free is free indeed. Are you following this here? Jesus has four principles and power, made a show of them, travel over them openly. Colossians 2:15. And he gave all this authority to the church. We just read it. So the eyes of that Christian just needs to be opened. Are you following this, guys? Are you with me? Now watch this. Philemon 6. This is how to pray for Christians. Philemon 6. I'll start from 4. You discover Paul's prayers had the same prayer points. The same prayer points. So don't think that you'll be heard by much speaking. Much speaking. There is a speaking of faith. There is a speaking of the word. When you pray like this, you are praying the will of God. Because sometimes we get personal and selfish. You see a Christian who is not growing spiritually, you say, Lord, maybe if he loses his job, he will be more serious. He loses his job, he might also lose his faith. So you are probably not praying the will of God. I don't think you are praying the will of God at all. Verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. Verse 5 is not the prayer. Who agrees with me? Can you see verse 5 is not the prayer? So what's the prayer? Verse 6 together. One to go. That the communication of your faith, Take that again. That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing. Take that again. That the communication of your faith. See that now. By the acknowledging. That word acknowledging is the Greek word epignosis. It means by a correct, precise understanding of every good thing that is well, that is in you, that is in you in Christ Jesus. Say, I'm in Christ Jesus. Say, I'm in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. There's so much in you. Knowledge opens it up to you. So much in you. Let me see how you feel better praying like this for yourself. Not, Father, take control. Take control of what? Let your eyes be opened. When you know this, and sickness wants to have a hold over your body, you take charge. Because your eyes are opened. When you know this, you don't say, I don't know what to do. I don't even know what to say. Because your eyes are open. So how do you pray for people? You pray the word of God. Colossians chapter 1. Do something for me. In Philemon 6, look for the Amplified Version this day, today. You understand my point? And go and the Amplified Version expands it for you. Expands this for you. The meaning is clearer to you. The Amplified Translation of the Bible, Philemon 6, will expand this part of the scriptures for you. Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll take 9, 10 together. Are you ready? Let's go. For this cause, do not cease to pray for you. To desire that you might be filled with what? The knowledge of His will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Bring fruitful in every good work. Do you understand something? How do you walk worthy of God? By developing in wisdom. In the word of God. Oh God, I want to please you all my life. That's an empty prayer. Oh God, I want to serve you. I want to serve you and please you. Say, Father, Lord Jesus, I pray. Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, have a Father. I pray. I pray that this boy will please you. This boy, he used to serve you. He's not serving you again. Father, Lord Jesus, I ask you to go into his heart so that he will please you and he will serve you. You are just praying a selfish prayer. Pray for him that he is filled with knowledge. Wisdom, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. When that happens, he will walk worthy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Unto all pleasing. Hallelujah. And he will be fruitful in every area. And increase in the knowledge of God. Philippians chapter 1. Are you getting something out of this? That's how to pray for Christians. Verse 9. And this I pray. Okay, let's take that one together. Philippians 1 verse 9 to 11. Is how to pray for Christians. 1 to go. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Take that again. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in what? That word judgment is where you get the word wisdom. Now when that happens, look at the results. Verse 10. Want to go? That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory. Can you see that? So if you want somebody to be without offense and be sincere and walk well as a Christian, you pray verse 9. Revelation knowledge is the primary way, the primary reason we pray for Christians. Revelation knowledge. Knowledge. That's how to pray for Christians. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11. Verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His work, of His goodness, and the work of faith with power. The work of faith. What is the work of faith? The word of God with power. that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, you in him, according to the grace of our Lord and our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 4. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at verse 19. My little children, it says, of whom I travail in birth again, I labor. That labor includes prayers. Until Christ be formed in you. That word Christ be formed in you means for you to grow up. To grow up. How do you grow up? You grow up in knowledge. So the reason for praying for fellow Christians is so that they will grow up spiritually. How they grow up? By revelation knowledge in God's word. Stop praying selfish prayers for people. I ask you for things, don't you? Father, touch his heart so that he can be given. That's the wrong way to pray for people. Hebrews 13. How to pray for God's people. That's the way to pray for God's people. Verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again, verse 20, from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. That word is mature. In every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. See it again? Spiritual maturity. The word of God. Increase in God's word. That's how to pray for people. Don't pray self-inspired prayers. You know what we call this? What we used to call this in those days? We call this the Pauline prayers. But I call it the Spirit-inspired prayers. This is not self. If you look at some of these churches, you know, and this is how you will know that you are matured in the place of prayer. Some of these churches, you discover that Paul had things he was correcting them about. Some of them did things that they desired to be spanked. But what was his prayer for them? Growth. Growth where? In God's word. So don't bring in your own personal interpretation into people's lives. Whatever your opinion about someone, it should never supersede God's opinion about him. I'll tell you something. You don't ask for mercy for a Christian. He has the mercy of God. He has right standing with God. He's at peace with God. Romans 5:1. Romans 5:17. He has received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. He's a son of God, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Romans 8:17. He's led by the Spirit of God. He's a son of God. Romans 8:14. The Spirit of Christ is in him. The Spirit of adoption. He calls God Father. Romans 8:15. Galatians 4:6. God has sent the Spirit of his Son to his heart. He's now a child of God. He's no longer a servant. He's now a son of God. All authority in the name of Jesus has been given to him too. Mark 16, verse 15, 16, down to 18. So you will be praying the wrong prayers. Say, Father, have mercy on him. Have mercy. Somebody is sick and is a Christian. Father, have mercy on him. Oh Lord, have mercy on him. Or somebody you believe this Christian has done wrong. He has sinned. Alright? He has sinned. Assuming he has committed a sin. A big sin. A big time sin. That kind of sin that you know the church doesn't want to hear. He has called. You don't say, Father, have mercy on him. No. You know what I'll pray for him? I pray for him, Father. I pray that his eyes be opened to see that you are merciful towards him. Glory to God. Because when he sees that, he will be bold. He will be strong. He will walk in his right in Christ. Hallelujah. These are spirit-inspired prayers. Not self-induced prayers. Even if the Christian is carnal, is a babe, like the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4 and 5. I thank my God always on your behalf. For the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 1, 4 and 5. That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. You still pray the same thing. Paul still called them saints. sin. Restore the person. Don't remove the person. Restore. One of the ways to restore is to pray for him. Pray for knowledge. That's the best way you can pray. I'll just stick on this briefly, then we... What about preachers? How do I pray for a minister of the gospel, my pastor, or a friend of mine who is a pastor, or a colleague of mine at work who is a pastor, or a cousin of mine, or my dad, or whoever I know, my neighbor, who is a pastor? I'll just give you a couple of scriptures, then we'll just close on that. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Let's first of all know what preachers face. What can happen to a preacher? You know, we looked at what can happen to an unbeliever, right? We saw that he has not heard the gospel because somebody has not preached to him. So it would be foolishness to waste your time and pray, "Oh, Father, touch the heart of John. Let him be saved." You are wasting your time. Pray the right things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. I'll start from 17. "But we, brethren, being taken away, taken from you for a short time in presence and not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your faith with greater desire." So Paul says, "I want to come around to see you guys and all that." Now look at verse 18. "Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again." But what happened? Satan hindered the man of God. Satan hindered the man of God. How did Satan do it? Praise God. How did he do it? Did Satan come to him and say, "If you move, I'll blow your head"? No. Romans 15:22. "For this cause, for which cause also, I have been much hindered from coming to you." I've been much hindered. In that point, doesn't talk about Satan. I've been much hindered from coming to you. So how does that happen? 1 Corinthians 16. You mean it? A preacher? Yes. Have been much hindered. Verse 7. 1 Corinthians 16. "For I will not see you now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door..." Are you there? "A great door is opened unto me, and there are many opponents." Many adversaries. Many. Many opponents. Glory to his name. Many opponents. Now, only in one instance did he mention Satan. Ephesians 2. Look at this. "Wherein in time past," verse 2, "you will walk according to the course of this world, according," that is the life of the man who is not born again, "according to the who?" To who? "The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks" where? "In the children of disobedience." So Satan walks in unbelievers. They are unsaved. And if they are in government, he will use them against the preacher. If they are in government, he will hinder them from coming to a country. For instance, if you are going to go to China, they will restrict you if you are a preacher. That's how Satan hinders people. I've been somewhere before to preach, and they told us point blank to our faces that we couldn't hold an open air crusade. And they said there was nowhere we could use. So we had to use a marketplace. And they told us what we couldn't do. That's Satan injuring you. I've been to places before to preach. And as we were still about to start the meeting and all that, we just saw people rushing with stones. Jesus Christ, I ran. I had a course to follow. And a course to finish. I ran years ago. Wow, that's Satan injuring you. Amen. My God, that day I ran. My Bible is still there. The Word of God is here. That's where you know the word is a person, not a book. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Are you there? Second Thessalonians chapter 3. So Satan hinders preachers. You go and read the Acts of the Apostles. You see what happened to Peter and John, Acts 4. You see what happened to Paul and so many other people. Acts 7 to Stephen. These are the things that preachers face. Opposition. Sometimes, even from the church. See, let me say this to you. I think I said it at the camp meeting. There is a spirit of religion that can be working through a Christian, where you find fellow believers opposing fellow believers. Opposing fellow believers. Believers opposing fellow believers. And you'll be shocked at how they will vehemently speak against a particular ministry. And sometimes we have faced that before. Sometimes they will make it impossible for another church to hold their own program. Sometimes they will even spread rumors about that church or that minister or those ministers. What are they doing? They are carnal. And when you are carnal, it's easy for you to yield to Satan. Do you know that some of the people that opposed Paul were believers? Born again. Tongue talking. In fact, some of them gave him over to those who eventually persecuted him and eventually died. They would think they are doing God a favor because they are carnal, because they believe he was preaching what he didn't agree with. So preachers face a lot of opposition. Mike Franson was somewhere in Southern America. Mike Franson is a friend of our ministry. He got to the crusade ground. He had been threatened not to hold it, so he got to the crusade ground. And, of course, people prayed. And as they were preaching, he just saw some hefty guys harmed to the teeth. They came to him. They said, "They hired us to kill you. But we can see that you serve God. See blind eyes opened, deaf ears are stopped. So don't worry, we'll protect you." They went back to those who sent them and said, "That man is of God, you are not of God. If we see you at that crusade ground, we'll kill you." Prayer was working. Praise the Lord. That is answered prayers. Amen. But sometimes answered prayers mean to run. Okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You have to know how to pray for people. Eh? Finally, brethren, pray for us, verse 1. That the word of the Lord may have what? Free course and be glorified, even as it is with us. Watch this. The reason for our praying for ministers is for the message of God's word. Not exactly for them alone. It's because of the message that they preach. Look at verse 2. Want to go? That we may be delivered, everybody, from what? And wicked men, for all have not faith. They are wicked people. Unreasonable. No, I don't want to hear about that church. No, take it easy. No way. I don't care. I don't want to hear about that ministry. They must not hold their program in this Lagos. We mustn't see them in this place. But Muslims are holding their programs. Idol worshippers are holding their programs. The cults are holding their meetings. Rotary Club is holding their meetings. Ekaka is holding their meetings. Somebody is preaching about Jesus. And because the kind of Jesus you know are different, you think you have to kill him? I don't care. I don't care. I will stop them, whatever is in my power, that we may be delivered from such men. Unreasonable. Those years ago, we paid for a venue to use. And a Christian fellowship wanted to use the same place. They had gone around the whole campus to tell people not to come for that program. And when they saw people were going to come for that program, then they asked all the campus fellowships to organize a program. They work more for Pharaoh. And they organized a program. We went ahead with that program. You know us, we just go on. If it's under the tree, we hold the program. They now came the Saturday to say, well, their choir wants to practice, that can we close our own meeting and not hold our night session because of their choir? That didn't make sense, did it? But they are unreasonable men. Who are wicked. Are they Christians? Yes, they are Christians who are born again. Who should be reasonable? Who should not be wicked? But they are wicked. Because they are carnal. That night, they sent in someone who was drunk to come and destabilize the program. Christian fellowship. We've had times we paid for a venue or wanted to pay for a venue or got a venue for a program, and 24 hours of the program, they said some Christians came to complain to the authorities that these people, we don't want them to hold the program, please change the venue. There's opposition to the gospel. So you must pray that the word will run a free course and be glorified. The word of God will be preached on in that, and that the preacher of the gospel will be delivered from wicked men, unreasonable men. Some of them will use the media. They will use the press to bring down the preacher. Why would they do it? Because when you bring down the preacher in the eyes of people, the message is in that. Know how to pray for your pastors or fellow ministers. If you have a cousin who is preaching somewhere, who is a pastor, this is how to pray for them. It's not the pastor you'll be praying for, his eyes of understanding to be enlightened. You can pray for him as a believer on that. But as a minister, 2 Timothy 4, verse 17 to 18, we'll close on that. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be made known. All the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, God Almighty. Verse 18, can we take it together? And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to be whom be the glory forever. Every evil work. You attack the family of the preacher, and the preacher physically, they are being motivated by Satan. If you are going to pray, this is how to pray for a preacher. Hallelujah. I just want to pray, just